Let's take our Bibles together, please, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. We'll continue, by the grace of God, with our messages on the Ten Commandments. And I've said before, has there ever been a generation that we needed to preach the Ten Commandments? It would be this sinful generation. We're looking at the third commandment this morning, and you'll read it and think about it and maybe think you understand all that encompasses, but it's really not just a one-trick pony. There's a lot more in this verse that we'll look at this morning than maybe that meets the eye. I hope the Lord will help us see the truth of it. Exodus chapter 20, the Bible says in verse number 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." God has magnified his name. His name is vital. His name is precious. His name should be revered. And yet we live in a society where it is not. Now, this is not written in Exodus 20. This was not sent out into all the world. This is given to God's own people. So even God's own people evidently had a problem or needed reminding about the fact that they needed to hold God's name in honor and in reverence and to be careful of how they're associated with that name. Now, the Old Testament names of God are many. They're many. He said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord." You know, as you look through the Bible, the name that God gave, and he even spells it out, "My name, Jehovah." He talks about God's name even being the I am that I am. They're all types, but it's a reference to the personage of God. The Old Testament, they have a lot of different names. The name of the Lord, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord." You see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is a certain name for God in the Hebrew language. The Lord thy God, little G-O-D. Matter of fact, your King James Bible is so precise that if you have a capital G, capital O, capital D, and a capital G, little O, little D, and a capital L, and a capital O, and a capital R, and a capital D, and then a capital L, and a little O, and a little R, and a little D. All those are talking about different names that the Hebrew people had for God. And your Bible's the only one that'll show you the distinction between it. And you don't need to know Hebrew, you just need to know that your God is a big God. He has a lot of different names. And whether the Hebrew people understood that as Jehovah or Adonai or Elohim or how they are looking at the Lord their God. And God says, when you look at my name, you need to hallow my name. I think Jesus told us that. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In other words, your name is holy and your name is so awesome and so precious that we ought to humble ourselves and we ought to count it to be a holy name. And it ought to be that precious to us. I mean, you think about, I love how the Bible puts things together from the Old and New Testament. Think about our commandment this morning. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." You remember what they said to Jesus Christ? Those types said, "My Lord and my God." So many times in the New Testament, the Bible as the title, Jesus has a lot of different titles, but over and over again, he's called the Lord. Connecting him as the Lord of the New Testament as the Lord of the Old Testament is the same God, and he is the Lord God just as surely as the commandments given here. So we need to reverence and hallow and hold the name of Jesus Christ in the same type of preciousness, you see, because the Bible says neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name, the lovely name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, that name that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, that name that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. And yet it's being drug in the dirt and drug in the mud. I say it's a breaking of the third commandment. The Bible tells us as Christian people, Colossians chapter 4, or Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, listen, whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a big statement, you know. Whatever you do in word or deed, make sure you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our lives are connected with His name. You know, when we pray, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I'll do it. We don't pray in our own names. We don't pray in our own power. It's through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to God. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Reaching higher far than the highest star. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim. What a lovely name. But they don't do that. They don't do that. They take it in vain. Now, what does this commandment entail? I want to give you three things that I think that this commandment in Exodus 20, verse 7 is a commandment against. Number one, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. That means you'll be guilty before God. That taketh his name in vain. What is that? Well, I think, number one, it's a command against profanity. Now, it's not only that. That's why I said a lot of times people read the Bible and they'll just think of one aspect of a verse. But it is a commandment against profanity. You know, everything that comes out of our mouths, God hears. Everything that came out of the mouth of the children of Israel, God heard. And God is interested in what's coming out of people's mouths. A lot of times people say, well, what came out of my mouth, you know, it just slipped up. Can I tell you something? The Bible, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, I'll give you the right verse, 34, Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you understand that what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart? You said, no, it's a slip. No. You have a slip in your heart. And the reason things slip out your mouth is because you have something wrong in your heart. You said, preacher, I hit my hand with a hammer. Hey, I cut myself yesterday. I was on the roof and I cut myself. And I got mad about it. But you know what? Curse word didn't slip out. You know why? Because it wasn't in there to slip out. Now I said, ow. I said other things. But I didn't say curse words. I certainly didn't bring God into it. God didn't have nothing to do with it. It's my stupidity had something to do with it. This is a commandment, number one, against profanity. Bringing God's name into our anger. Bringing God's name into our arguments. Bringing God's name into our bitterness. Bringing God's name into our wicked heart, you see. So many times people use the name, I mean, no matter where you go, it's an accepted normal part of conversation. Whether it's on the street corner or whether it's in the schoolhouse, whether it's a third grader or a second grader, whether it's on the TV or in a movie house, or whether it's on a sporting field, on a football field, whether it's in a military complex where soldiers are marching, whether it's in people's homes that name the name of Christ or do not name the name of Christ, whether it's on the golf course or my playing golf and hit a bad shot, whether it is in the business world where you work, people have filthy mouths and they bring God's name in it. It shows the sinfulness of man's heart. I think it shows something else. I think it shows a man's ignorance. Most of these people cannot speak without using some form of profanity. I mean, they can't even tweet without using some form of profanity. You know what that means? They don't have a large enough vocabulary. If you can't talk without cussing, you're dumb.
And the world, that's the world. The world is ignorant. They can't carry on a conversation without prophetic. They can't carry on a conversation without using a GD or bringing something into their conversation that's vile. They have to say it because they don't have a good enough intellect, I guess, to express themselves. I think it reveals ignorance. I think it reveals enmity against God. Would you look at Psalm 139? Why do people use the name of God in a blasphemous way? I think obviously that our verse would cover that. But why do they do that? Psalm 139, the Bible tells us exactly why people do that. Psalm 139, the Bible says in verse 20, will you look at it there? Well, we'll start verse 19, get the context. Psalm 139 verse 20 or verse 19. Psalm 139 verse 19, look at it with me. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. Look at verse 20. For they, who's that? The bloody men and the wicked people. Verse 20. For they speak against thee. Against who? Against God. For they speak against thee wickedly, watch it, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do you see that? You know why people take the name of the Lord thy God, the Lord God in vain? And you know why they speak wickedly against God and they blaspheme God? The reason they do that is because they are at enmity with God. They have something against God. And so when someone takes the name of the Lord God in vain, it shows the enmity in their heart or the offense in their heart toward God. I mean, think about it. Why in the world? You never heard anybody cursing Buddha's name. You've never heard anybody ask Buddha to damn something. You've never heard that. Or Muhammad. I wonder how the Muslims would take that. I mean, you can't even draw a cartoon of Muhammad, and he was a child molester. I said Muhammad was a child molester as well as a murderer. But if you say one thing, if you use the name of Muhammad in any derogatory, they will kill you. They'll send assassination teams to countries to destroy you. You know why? Because they revere the name of their prophet. And yet, why do they use God's name in vain? Because they're against him. You know this world is against God. That's why there's so much blasphemy on the airwaves. It could be on the radio. It could be. You know what God says about his name? You're right there in Psalm. Look at Psalm 111. Years ago, and I'm not hung up on things. I understand societal norms and all that. But years ago, I told the funeral directors to quit putting my name on the funeral card and in the obituaries with the word reverend. I didn't like that. Now, I understand the societal norm. I'm not saying everybody's wicked that does that. But the Bible says here in Psalm 111, if you look at it, he said, Psalm 111 verse 9, speaking of our God, said, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Look at it. Holy and reverend is his name. You know who the reverend is? The reverend is God. I tell you, one of the stupidest things in our country, calling all these people reverend, and they've had two or three, five, six wives, and they've had wicked more. But boy, they're in a church, so call them reverend. They ain't nothing reverend about their name. Amen. I don't want people calling me reverend. Amen. They've done that. I don't get angry. But the Bible says reverend is his name. In other words, his name is to be revered. And this is the problem. People hold other people's names so much higher than they hold the name of God. It shows the wickedness of our heart. People don't cuss people in, they don't damn people in Biden's name. Wouldn't that be funny if you heard that? It wouldn't be funny. It'd be pitiful, but. No, they don't do that. You know why? He's not a big enough authority. He don't register. They don't damn people's names in Obama's name. They don't do that in Trump's name. You know why? Because they know that God is far above all. And so they want to bring him down.
They want to bring him down to their conversation and bring him down to their level. And God says, you're guilty. You guilty. You take my name and bring my name down like that. You don't reverence my name and honor my name. And you use it as a filthy word. I tell you what, that this society probably never saw. And just hear me out now. And I've said it before. And I know it's not politically correct. And I know the majority of people wouldn't believe it. And would get upset at me about it. But I'm going to tell you what. One of the worst things in our society is when we made racism the chief sin. The chief sin is not the N-word. People say that people would never say the N-word, but they'd take God's name and they'd use it as a blasphemy. What does that mean to them? That means that the men, the people, humanity, the races are more important to them than God. I'm not a racist. I will reach out to all people. I love all people. There ain't nobody better than anybody else. We're all dirty, rotten sinners level at the cross. No matter who we are. But I am not going to make the chief sin blaspheming a man and forget about the fact that God is the one that's being blasphemed night and day in society. It shows the wickedness of man's heart. They don't care. They laugh about it. Some of you have laughed about it in your own house. You know what Romans 3 says when it talks about we're all sinners and talks about how humanity is so sinful? It says this, their throat, first thing God starts talking about us, about our sin, he talks what comes out of our mouth. He says their throat is an open sepulcher. Yeah. And their mouths and their tongues, there's poison and deceit. And then he says this, their mouth, listen, is full of cursing and bitterness. And bless your heart, if you're used to that blasphemy, God have mercy on you. And look, you can be forgiven of that. I know in this day, I've given up trying to talk to people about not watching movies and TV and all that and computers. It's just where we live. But it, look, if you've got any sense of morality at all, and you can't just say, well, I watch the stuff that don't happen. You could say that 20 years ago. You can't say that today. They're going to blaspheme God somewhere. They're going to get it in. And I've tried to tell people from the get-go, pay the money, put VidAngel on your computer, get ClearPlay. There are ways to get all that filthiness out. And you can still watch your program. You say, preacher, just tell them not to watch it. I give up on that. I'm not going to fight losing battles. Preacher, what the... Look, I know where people live. But if you'll... watch the cartoons, laugh. Get the blasphemy out of your house. The Lord will not hold him guiltless. You say, well, I didn't do that. Well, you listen to it. Your kids listen to it. We're guilty. Turn it off. Do something else. It is the way that society is causing the hearts of good people to become filthy. And their minds to be corrupted. I tell you what. Let me ask you, sir. If you were sitting at a table and a man came up to your table and started saying vile things to your wife or about your wife or using your wife's name, would you just sit there and smile? Let me ask you a question. Why do we act like it's no big deal when people use the name of Jesus as a byword or as a swear word or as a funny word or use the name of our God in the same damning blasphemous sentence? Well, why do we just let that? Does he not mean anything to us? I know this. I could, if I preach around the country, if I preach this, I mean, it would hit wherever I go because it's just the way it is. We've gotten so used to it. It's just a normal part of society. People damn each other. People damn institutions. They damn their animals. They damn inanimate objects.
They damn the screens they watch. They damn their cars when they mess up. It's just, and they put God's name in the middle of that. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there's going to be a day where God damns people. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And with that, you know, Mark 16:16 tells us, he that believeth not shall be damned. The last one that's really going to bring the damnation is not going to be some filthy Hollywood producer. Or somebody putting graffiti on the side. I'll never forget in Romania. I got so upset and mad. People in Romania, we were missionaries over there. And a lot of those younger Romanians were learning English. And you know where they were learning it on through television. And I went downtown and they put up signs and graffiti on the big buildings downtown Brasov. And they put the filthiest words in the English language on there. In other words, the words that they knew were the filthy words. Because that's where our society is. That Bible talks about people's mouths being full of cursing and bitterness. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. He said, it shouldn't be that way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible tells us there is coming a day where God's going to let loose the Antichrist on this world when we are taken out of the way. And the Bible says in verse number 9 of 2 Thessalonians 2, even him who's coming is out of the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. God allowing the world to be damned. Why? Because they would not receive his truth. Damnation is not a funny thing. It is a terrible thing. It is the judgment of God. It's going to encompass eternal torment and retribution. It's not something to be made light of. But that's the world, you know. They don't want to think about hell, so they'll use it in a curse word. To desensitize us about the bigness of hell and the seriousness of hell. I'll just use it as a word. In Leviticus chapter 24, would you look there? Here's what happened to a guy that took the name of the Lord in vain. You better be glad we're not living in the Old Testament. There's going to be a lot of dead people. Somebody says, well, this is just, well, let's read it first. God gets accused because of this story of being too harsh. That's because the world doesn't reverence or honor God. They don't respect God. Leviticus 24, verse 10, the Bible says, and the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian. Now, I don't know. This boy may have learned to cuss from his daddy because his dad was an Egyptian. By the way, parents, they're listening. And what you do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. I'd rather that be my prayer life. And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and the man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith. I don't know. It could have been her mother's fault. I don't know. Maybe it ain't just men cursing anymore.
Right. You're right.
Amen. That's true. I don't know what. I don't know where that came in this kid. Verse 12, and they put him in ward, put him in prison, put him in jail. How about that? Instead of putting people in jail for going to church, why don't you put him in jail for blaspheming God?
Amen.
That'd be a different world, wouldn't it? They put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring him forth that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. You say, but that's a terrible society. No, killing babies is a terrible society.
Our rape stats is a terrible society. Our sexual abuse and drug problem is a terrible society. No, this is not a terrible society. This is trying to bring forth respect for God. And by the way, you know where I think all the degradation and wickedness and sinfulness and debauchery that man gets involved in and killing people and everything known to man, it all will come because there's a lack of respect to God. There is no respect of God's person. There's no respect of what God said. There's no respect that God will judge them. And so God is out of their life, out of their mind, so they do whatever they want to do. To you or anybody else.
So God took it very seriously. Somebody blasphemed the name of the Lord. I think we should as well. Not only that, go to James 5. I think this commandment not only is a command against profanity. I would say this. It's also a commandment against frivolity or dishonesty. I'll show you what I mean here in James. I don't think that verse is just about cussing. I think it's bringing God's name into something in a frivolous way, or maybe even bringing God's name into something in a dishonest way. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse number 12, but above all things, that's pretty serious. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. This is a warning against how people swear. You know when people really get upset in an argument or something like that, and look, I'm not doing this. I'm not. They'll say, I swear to God. You heard people say that? You know why they're doing that? It's because their word doesn't mean anything. They bring God's name and quit bringing God's name into your arguments. God doesn't have anything to do with your argument. If we want to talk about God, we need to get on our knees and talk to Him and talk to others about Him. But don't bring God into our arguments. You're not supposed to swear. When I've had to go to court. I was always innocent. I got a clean record. I remember having to go to court several times and they'd bring before the judge and they want me to swear. And I'd always do this beforehand. I did this in Virginia. I said, look, I got a problem swearing to God or swearing by God's name. You know what the authority said? They said, that's all right. You just affirm that what you're saying is so.
Right.
That's what I did, and they let it pass.
Right.
Why do we have to swear by God and then lie? You see, that's what happens. People are taking the name of God and then they're lying. They're saying, like you say, I swear to God, that means what you're going to say is true. Are you kidding me? People don't have any more reverence or respect for God. I don't think in a courtroom in America, probably, those people that put their hand on the Bible and swear by God, that means a blessed thing to them. You know why? There's no respect to God. There's no fear of God. There's no respect of the third commandment. They don't think that God's going to hold them guilty because they swore by God and then lied. That happens every day in America. God says, don't even swear by heaven or earth or any other oath. Jesus said, swear not at all. By earth, it's God's footstool, or heaven above, if it's His throne. You just tell the truth. Don't bring God into all the argument. Don't bring His argument into frivolous things. And certainly don't use His name to try to prove your point when you're lying. That's also a breaking of the third commandment. The prophets in the Old Testament, listen, they would speak in the name of the Lord. And sometimes they would use the name of the Lord and God didn't say what they said. And God says, I'm going to judge that prophet that speaks in my name and I didn't send them. Are you listening to me? In other words, they would say, God said this and God never said that. I'm going to tread lightly here. How many times have you heard people say, God told me to do that? And they brought the name of God into something that He wasn't in 5 miles of. Why do we have to bring God's name into it? Are you listening to me? It's because we're trying to prove something. He says, don't take my name in vain. Don't bring me into your dishonesty or to your frivolity. There's a lot of people that preach it from pulpits and say things that God never said, and they say it in His name. They break the third commandment. They took His name and used it in vanity for a false cause. The last thing, and I've got to hurry quickly. This is not just a command against profanity. It's not just a commandment against frivolity or dishonesty. It's also a commandment against hypocrisy. Could you follow me real quickly? Turn to a few verses. Would you grab Isaiah chapter 4? I'd love for you to see this instead of me just quoting it to you. Grab Isaiah chapter 4. And with your other hand, if you could grab 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if somehow you can put your thumb in there, Acts chapter 15, and that'll be enough. All right, so we've got Isaiah 4, we've got 2 Timothy 2, and now let's get Acts 15. So think with me just a moment as we look at these three verses. When the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does he mean by take the name? Well, I appreciate you. He can mean to take it up in utterance. Well, that's possible. But usually when you talk about taking somebody's name, you use it in a different context. In Isaiah chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, would you look at it? And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be, watch it, called by thy name to take away our reproach. God's talking about there's coming a day where there'll be such a lack of men that there'll be women that will not be able to find husbands. And seven women will come up to one man and say, let us be called by thy name. You know, all that is not a coincidence in our society. It's everything about God is being undone in the world. Everything, every smallest detail. Do you know why for all of this time in the history of the United States of America that when a woman marries a man, she would take the man's name? Do you know why that is? That's a Bible principle. She would take his name. And also in the Bible, a child. Listen now. And this is a historical, this is a thing of humanity. It's common sense. A child would always take its father's name. Is that right? Now, when you got all these people being born illegitimately and nobody knows who their daddy is, you got a problem. But that's not God's plan. Even in the Bible, he talked about Simon Bar-Jonah or Simon, son of Jonas. In the Bible names, they were called, here's your first name, you are the son of. In other words, your name's connected with your daddy. I'm a Logan because you know why? I've got my dad's name on me. My boy's a Logan, you know why? Because he's got his dad's name on him. That's the way God intended to be. My wife is a Logan. Right. You know why? She took my name. I gave it to her. Boy, I feel like I'm preaching something weird. And this is so elementary. Why do we have a society that doesn't want to do that anymore? There's no respect or honoring or reverence of how God ordered things in his word. Now listen, it's one thing for a wife to take her husband's name. It's one thing for a child to take its father's name. But the Bible says this. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
and let everyone, watch it, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Acts chapter 15, you get what that's all about in verse number 14. When the Gentiles, that's us, we're outside of Israel, when we got saved, God says this about us, Acts 15, verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. You know what's a hallelujah right there? That we were all dogs. We were all outside of the mercy and the grace and the family and benefits of God. And God in His mercy sent forth His Son that died in my place and redeemed my soul from hell and put me in the family of God and put the name of God on me when I never had that name before. He gave me a new family. God became my Father. So now I've got my Father's name. And not only that, if you look at the Bible, what does the Bible say about Jesus and the church? All those who've been saved by the grace of God. He says it's a great mystery. It's like that man and that wife. The church is married to Christ. If you're saved, you belong to Jesus. And when you receive Jesus Christ, it was like the day that my wife said, I'll take your name. And the day you got saved, you took Jesus' name. And you've got a new name written on your heart and a new name written in heaven. Amen. It's Jesus' name. You're connected with Him, not that old family. You see how that's important? Now think about it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does vain mean? It means empty. Means worthless. Means having no substance or importance. It means fruitless. Church, we have the name of Jesus Christ upon us. It's a holy name. But what happens when I live my life for vanity? I blaspheme that worthy name by which I am called. What happens when I live my life not as the life of Jesus, but I live my life as a heathen or as some other wicked person that doesn't even know God or trust God? We who are saved that have taken the name of God, have we done it in vain? What fruit has He got out of my life? Are you listening? Did I just take His name, but I didn't do anything with it? Has it been a worthless exercise for me to be a Christian? And I've not lived for Him, and I've not praised Him, and I've not served Him, and I've not loved Him, and I've not given a good testimony for Him? Is His name not important to me? That my testimony before the world and before others, that I'm not very conscious of that? Have I just taken it in vain? How many people today, I tell you what, church, and I'm finished, the name Christian today means absolutely nothing. Somebody says, I'm a Christian. It don't mean nothing. Sodomites call themselves Christians. People that don't even know what being born again is call themselves Christians. People that hadn't read a Bible verse in all their life call themselves Christians. I worked and ministered in Romania and Greece, and all those people call themselves Christians. And I said, why you call yourself a Christian? You don't know the Bible from a fiction book. And they said, well, I was born that way. I was born a Christian. I said, no, sir, you weren't born a Christian. You were born a sinner. No, I'm a Christian. You know what it means? It means I'm not a Muslim. It means I'm not a Buddhist. But friend, when you put the name of Jesus Christ on you, it's not declaring your religion a preference. It's saying, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. My wife has my name on her. She's my wife. She didn't belong to anybody else. Are you listening to me? She don't belong to anybody else.
your children that are in your home, that you're raising, that they don't belong to the government. Amen. That they don't belong to your neighbor. Are you listening to me? They don't belong to science. They belong to you. Amen. They don't even belong to the church. They belong to you. God's given them to you. They've got your name on them, sir.
When I got saved, Jesus put His name on me. I belong to Him. But here's the question. Did I take His name in vain? And every day I live for myself, I break the third commandment. And every day I live in hypocrisy, I break the third commandment. I've got Jesus' name written on me. And if I don't live in subjection to His will, it's vanity. And church, and I just preached on it today a lot, we can jump on the crowd that blasphemes God and has the filthiest mouths and the filthiest hearts in the world, and rightly so. But if we are not honoring and respecting the name of Jesus Christ that's written upon us as believers, we are just as guilty.